I want to talk to you this evening on remembering. It has been said those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. A similar statement of wisdom would be, one thing we fail to learn from history is that we fail to learn from history. We don't learn from our mistakes. We all know the definition of insanity, and that's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting what? A different result. Well, the book of Deuteronomy literally means second law. And while it isn't actually a second law, it really is a repeat of the law that God first gave to the Israelites as they began their wilderness journey. And then Deuteronomy, of course, was given at the end of the 40 years to, especially for those who had been born during that 40-year period of time. And they would be the ones who would be going into the promised land. Those that were 20 years old and over, they died. Those that were under 20 were the ones that would go into the land. And so God gave them the book of Deuteronomy, a second warning to God's people to fulfill God's law. And yes, Paul tells us in Philippians 3 to forget those things which are behind and to reach forward unto those things which are before. And I agree. It really isn't healthy to live in the past. And I see people who try to do that. They try to replicate maybe things that they experienced in bygone years. But sometimes you just need to move on to say, those things I put under the blood or those things are behind me. But there is wisdom, there is scriptural insight. There really are specific things that the Bible does tell us we are not to forget. We are to remember, and this evening I want us to recall what God would have us to remember, especially as we move into this new year. There are biblical nuggets we can take from the past and apply them to the future. The first thing we are to remember as we begin a new year is our God is our Creator. We need to remember our God and our Creator. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember in the days your mind is still active, it's still sharp, it's still formative, that you belong to the Lord, that you are God's property, and therefore be sure to love and to revere Him, to keep His laws faithfully, to serve Him responsibly, again remembering that He created you, and consequently, you owe Him your life. Remember now your God. Remember now your Creator. Second, we are to remember the way God has led us this past year. And a reference would be Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. We are to recall God's faithfulness to us in our own wilderness experiences of life. And don't we all have them? Don't we have these times, really, when we are put through the refining fire, times when we really are experiencing disappointment and we're questioning, Lord, what's going on? We learn, most of the time, we learn God's faithfulness when we are walking through the wilderness, right? Not the promised land, but the wilderness. And we need to learn those lessons. Life is a wilderness. Most of life is not lived in the promised land. Most of life is lived in the wilderness. Heaven is our promised land. And we can look forward to that. But God wants us to live in a dependent mode. And too often when everything is going well, we don't remember God. But remembering how God preserved the Israelites in their 40 years, think about that, 40 years in the desert, how he led them and provided food and protection for them, certainly is a wonderful assurance of God's continued watch care over us in this coming year. Don't we mean as much to our God, our Lord, as the Israelites meant to God back in those days? I think so. So we are to remember God's faithfulness. I'm just telling you, you'll have a wilderness experience or many in 2020, but recall God's faithfulness to you in past wilderness experiences. And God is the same God. He will be faithful. Going along with this truth, we are to remember, and this is our third remembrance, all God's marvelous works, 1 Chronicles 16:12. And its parallel passage is Psalm 105, verse 5, which tells us, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. I think it's significant that both the writer of 1 Chronicles and the psalmist describe God's works as marvelous. God's work is marvelous work, and we can be the recipients of his marvelous work. And in doing so, our faith and trust grow in this living God. And we then believe, Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy. Someone has said this can be translated, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. You know, when you seek to be in God's will, whatever comes to pass is good. It's a good thing. Fourth, Psalm 89:47 tells us that we are to remember how short our time is. And then in the very next psalm, Moses expounds on life's brevity when he says in verse 10 of Psalm 90, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we may live in a wise way. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to make the best out of each day we have to live. I don't know if it's just this time of the year. It seems like around this Thanksgiving and Christmas, more people die. Of course, losing Kay's mom and Jacob. You'd lost your dad just, what was it, yesterday? But ladies and gentlemen, we don't have, comparatively speaking, we live short lives. We don't live long lives. I mean, 80, that's what, 70 years. And if by reason of strength, in other words, if God permits, we might live 80 plus years. I'm 66. My mom died when she was 64. My dad died when he was 85. I mean, as my dad always said, I'm looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. But teach me, Lord, to live every day for you. Help me not to waste a day. So life is not long. Life is short down here. Young people, make the best of it. Don't throw away your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I mean, when you're young, you can do things that you can't do when you get old. When you're young, you can lift 70-pound barbells, dumbbells. Amen? We are to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And what did he specifically say in Acts chapter 20, verse 35? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And in particular, we are to remember the poor. We are to give to the needy. We are to give help to the weak, those beset by doubts, those susceptible to sin. We are to come alongside of them. You know, I think too often when we think of giving, we think of opening our wallet or our checkbook, and we need to be doing that. I thought this afternoon, what you give, you have for eternity. What you keep, you have for time. You want to have a lot for eternity. But we are to also give our time, also are to give our talents. In other words, there are things that maybe you can do that can be a blessing to others. We should look for opportunities to give. Really, the saddest people are those that don't give, or give grudgingly, or give miserly. If Christ said it is more blessed to give than to receive, do we believe that? And have we experienced that? I think really that's a level of spiritual maturity when you recognize it is more blessed to be a giver. What we give, we'll have for eternity. What we keep, we have for time. I think giving also needs to be directed to those who are struggling to obey God's will. There are people in your family. Maybe there are friends. Maybe there are acquaintances. Maybe there's someone in our church. We need to come alongside and to encourage them. We need to give comfort to the faint-hearted. The King James uses the word feeble-minded. Think about that, feeble-minded. We are to give to those who worry about everything. They are constantly anxious. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be what? Careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard or garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Encourage people to claim Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Just say, Lord, help me every day in 2020 to give someone encouragement. To give someone encouragement. We are to give others hope. Do you see the need of having a healthy soul? When you have a healthy soul, when you're walking with the Lord, walking worthy of the Lord has many people that he can bring across your path in the next few days or few weeks, that you can honestly give a testimony of God's grace, that you can say, let me encourage you with a verse of scripture, let me encourage you, let me pray for you. I mean, I go about every week, I'd knock on doors. You say, well, Pastor, I've had people tell me, well, that's archaic. But I do it almost every week. And you'd be surprised the people that I can encourage. People I have never met before. It's just a beautiful way to be an ambassador for Christ. We live in a world that is just dying. We live in a world that is filled with news reports that are so negative and so depressing and so debilitating. Ladies and gentlemen, we know Jesus and we have hope. Let us share this hope with others. You might be the only person in someone's life who has hope. Share it. Give it. Let me tell you what Jesus can do for you. This is what he does for me. 6, we are to remember those in bonds, those who have been imprisoned, especially for their faith. 7, we are to remember those who have the rule over us. We have Hebrews 13, verse 7. By the way, Hebrews 13, 3 is to remember those in bonds. But Hebrews 13, 7 reminds us to remember our pastors. And how do we remember them? We remember them with love, with our love, our prayers, our encouragement, our support. And you say, well, why? Because their duties include leadership. Their duties include the preaching of the word. Their duties include living out the word in such a way that the pastor or pastor's manner of living is an example to follow. You want to pray for David, for me, for Zach, for those that we have other pastors in the church, and I love these men. I love our chaplains. We are so blessed to have godly men in our church, leadership type men. We are blessed to have them here. We are blessed to have Pastor Beck. We are blessed to have Zach. But we need to pray for these men that they can continue to be an example and a testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, I need examples to follow. If you don't have an example, a godly example to follow, someone who's an example of the believer in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity, you know what you do? You tend to give up on the faith. You think, if the pastor can't stand, then what hope do I have? How many of you have ever thought that? I have. So pray for us. And then 8, the pastor is in turn to remember to pray for you, to pray for the parishioners, to remember your work of faith. What does that mean? Your work produced by faith, your labor of love, your labor prompted by love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus, your endurance inspired by looking unto Jesus. You know, the ministry is a two-way street. The pastor remembers the parishioners, and the parishioners remember the pastors. Life for both can be very discouraging. We need to render to each other prayerful, encouraging hope. Can you imagine how healthy a local body of believers would be if the parishioners were praying for the pastors and the pastors were praying for the parishioners? Prayer is necessary for the health of the body of Christ. We need each other, as I just said. And then 2 more remembrances. Number 9, we are to remember from whence we have fallen. Revelation 2:7. In other words, we are to remember what caused us to backslide. And really, the Greek there means we are to keep on remembering. We are to keep on remembering the spiritual life we once had, but now, because we have left our first love, we have left our love for Christ, we are no longer living for the Lord. And Jesus tells us to therefore repent and do, practice good works we once did. And isn't it true how quickly our love for Christ can grow cold? How the world and its ways can steal our affection for Christ. Let's remember what peace and joy, fulfillment we had when we were loving our Lord with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then 10th, our last remembrance, in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, Christ admonishes us to remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife, unable to fully let go of the world, was destroyed on the brink of deliverance. She was almost ready to be delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah, from God's judgment on those cities, but she could not fully let go of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many Christians who are like Lot's wife. You know, they have one foot in the world and they have one foot in the church. And it's hard. It's just they grit their teeth when they think of the fact, if I'm going to follow Jesus, do I have to let go of what I love that comes from this world? Like the weeds in the weedy soil, love of this world's riches choked out her faith. Then in the next verse, Jesus states, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Other passages say shall find it. Well, as we bid 2019 a goodbye and look forward to 2020, might we exercise a good memory? First, might in 2020 we remember our Creator. Second, might we remember God's faithfulness to us in 2019, his marvelous works, which include, number three, his goodness and mercy. Fourth, might we remember life's brevity. 2020 might be the year that we pass. It might be the year of our Lord's coming. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, my. Our days truly are few, not many. Fifth, we are to remember our Lord's word, his statement to give, to be givers. But we remember, seventh, those imprisoned, especially for their faith. Number six, number seven, might we remember our pastors. Number eight, might our pastors in turn remember the flock that they oversee. Number nine, might we remember what caused our backsliding. Tenth, might we remember Lot's wife, because she remembered not her Creator and all his marvelous works and ways, she perished. She perished. Well, 2020 will be a wonderful year if we have a good Bible-based, Spirit-controlled memory.